Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community.
Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
I had a good time.
The summer was slammed.
Good show.
It was a good show.
I honestly thought so. Honestly, yeah. I didn't have gigantic expectations, which is what I'm learning more and more. As I say this to myself and to anybody out there listening, when my expectations are lower, I tend to just kind of have a better time. Yeah. And maybe that's just general advice for all of us. We have a poll. If you're listening live, and even if you're not, the polls last 7 days. So if SummerSlam has been any time within the past week, and you're out there listening, maybe you're at the gym or you're on your way to work, you don't get the chance to listen live Sundays after these pay-per-views, it's late, you're going to work. The poll is still up at New Age Insiders. Right now, the poll's been up for just a few minutes. We have almost 300 votes, and optimistically, 44% of the audience would give it an A, 45% of the audience would give it a B. By my terrible math, that would be 89% of this audience would give it some sort of really high marking grade, and only 2% would give it an F. I don't know how you could fail it. Unless you're some sort of gigantic Brock Lesnar fan, which I am, and wouldn't even like fathom voting an F. But we'll give our grades at the end, but we'll want to talk to you. 508-202-1624, 508-202-1624. If you want to be part of this show and let us know what you think and let a whole lot of other people know what you think, six continents worth of people, what you thought of SummerSlam, then join the New Age Insiders. 508-202-1NAI, but sort of like jumping off points. We'll talk about the matches themselves. Anything that we don't get to, by the way, if it's your first time joining us, if you click some links, if you're in the SummerSlam mood and you want to check us out, we appreciate it. We're also live every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock on twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. If you're watching now, just bookmark it. We also have a Patreon where you can get 5 shows a month, including the most fun that we have. You'll meet a lot of people, have a lot of fun, and we promise you'll make some friends. If you go to patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders, but we're going to go ahead and just jump right on into it. What are your kind of takeaways before specifics of SummerSlam 2019? And would you agree early with the audience's response, which is that it was, you know, pretty high-ranking show?
Yeah, the big thing about this particular show is it, for the first time in a long time, it felt like a WWE pay-per-view. You know, okay. I think that with the set being the same set over and over and over again, you know, we don't really get unique sets anymore. And so all of the shows just kind of run together. Raw blends into SmackDown. SmackDown blends into the takeovers. The takeovers blend into the WWE pay-per-views. And so this show felt different. You know, I think the use of the augmented reality.
How much did pyro mean to you?
Pyro was huge.
It's like, here's the thing about pyrotechnics. Like, it might seem silly, but when you take them away,
yeah,
and then you notice it's just really one of those things where it's like, I don't know, it's an amenity that you don't appreciate, I think, until you take it away. And then you notice, like, I've said it before, when Brock Lesnar comes out on Raw and does the rah and nothing happens, he looks stupid. And so, like, getting, like, simple things like Bill even mentioned, he goes, oh my God, they opened the show with a pyro show.
Yeah.
Like, they used to do like that. And, I, you know, it made SummerSlam, which I'm consistently told is the second biggest show of the year, at least in the United States. I don't know what's going on with Saudi Arabia. Or North America, because this one was in Canada. Their second biggest show of the year, right, is SummerSlam. And I'm telling you that the pyro in the opener at the close and for entrances, I think it helped a lot to make it feel like a big deal.
Yeah, it absolutely did. I thought the show was paced very well in terms of what we had, when we had it, and just going from match to match. It felt really, really good. The only miss that kind of sticks out to me immediately was the Kofi Kingston-Randy Orton match, right? Everything. For the most part, with the exception of shenanigans in the United States championship match, somebody just won, somebody just lost. I mean, we knew that the Shane McMahon-Kevin Owens thing was going to be a shenanigan fest, but somebody just won, somebody just lost. And so for WWE to not just bite the bullet and book the finish you know, was kind of disheartening.
I definitely want to talk about that first, because here's the frustrating thing about Kofi versus Randy Orton to me, is that the match itself was very, very good. It was methodical. It was well planned out. They knew they had a really, they had a goal, and they were hitting it, right? Kofi looked like he was, you know, what the match construct to me as a viewer was, Randy Orton gave you all the Randy Orton he had, which, and then the commentary team did a great job of putting him over. 13-time champion, and he did all the Randy Orton stuff. Waited till the ref counted till 9 and then broke because veteran maneuvers out the wazoo. The point being is they did everything right with what you and I talked about last week, Wednesday night, twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. You and I talked about how this is going to be a big win for Kofi Kingston because this is the Hall of Fame guy he's going to beat during this championship run. And like the elite Hall of Fame guy, like an all-timer guy for them. And what this is going to do is it's going to punctuate Kofi's championship reign. It's going to be like, wow, if it wasn't solidified before, look at he just beat Randy Orton at SummerSlam. And then we can move on. And maybe, like you said, he doesn't lose his next championship match, but he probably loses his next championship opponent, like big time program. But no matter what, and like I can hear people at home, and they're free to call now. We have somebody on the line we'll get to in a second. But I understand the people at home, like, well, they're going to have a program and he'll wind up winning. I don't think we needed to do that.
No.
This was, hey, Randy Orton never took me seriously. I'm going to beat him tonight, thus proving him wrong, and continue to move forward in my championship reign.
Right.
That is what I believe. I hate this word, but that's what I think Kofi Kingston deserved. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I said, it's the exclamation point on the run, but it's also like, we don't need 3 matches with Randy Orton, do we?
Yeah, right.
You know, do we really?
We don't need 3 matches with anybody.
Right. I mean, we certainly, I just don't, I think what all he really actually needed to do tonight was, again, Randy brings all the Orton in the whole wide world, and Kofi Kingston can just endure it, beat him.
Well, because he knows what to expect this time.
I don't need Randy Orton to shake his hand, but maybe they share a look. He goes away, and then Kofi Kingston just moves on because, like I said, I don't need him to have a full-fledged program with Orton. And I'm sure they'll have another very good match, but what are they going to do that's better than Kofi Kingston free-falling into an RKO and making the whole world go, whoa? So I think they did everything they needed to do tonight right up until the finish. And like you said, in a very satisfying night, that is definitely the sore thumb. People don't really have to go digging too deep to tell you what they think the clunker might have been. And the shame of it is that the first 9/10 of that match were great.
Yeah, right.
And then the ending was just like unbelievably unsatisfying. And that's what people are going to remember, unfortunately. We have a call on the line, 508-202-1624. Who is it?
Canyon in Missouri gave us a call. He wants to talk about Bray Wyatt. Go ahead, Canyon.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys.
Good to talk to you, man. What'd you think about Bray Wyatt tonight? I thought it was pretty cool.
That was easily the best part of the show. His entrance, I haven't seen an entrance like that probably ever.
It was, you know, the thing about it is, man, is that we talk about this a lot on the show. In a culture where everybody, quote unquote, like knows the deal, that was very easy to lose yourself in. You know what I mean? And be kind of freaked out and worry for Finn Balor or whatever. Or like, again, lose yourself in a moment of suspension of disbelief where you can be like, oh my God, he's a decapitated head for a lantern. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's not, but in this world it is, and how cool was that?
Oh, the whole thing was great. Watching Bray Wyatt get a bunch of... The commentary team has never done this before, and they kept alluding to The Undertaker. They kept comparing this guy to The Undertaker. And, I mean, you got to kind of show me because they haven't shown me this before with this guy. They always say, take him seriously, but they've never used those types of comparison, and hopefully this leads to something big, but you got to show me.
Canyon, what are your hopes for Bray Wyatt now? He's beaten Finn Balor.
I want him champion by Survivor Series.
Which champion?
Probably Universal, because that's the big champion. That's the main one.
Yeah.
He needs to be the main guy.
I mean, here's the thing, and Canyon, thank you so much for the call. We're going to take as many as we can, and you're the man. Canyon is a Patreon on patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders, and you can meet awesome people like him as well if you go to patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. We really do appreciate the call. Give us a shout, 508-202-1624. I'm going to throw it to you, but I'm going to make the point for the, again, balloon's going to fall because it's the 1,000th time I've said this.
Right.
It all looks good. They have to do something now.
Right.
No, so what do you think Bray Wyatt's future actually is?
I mean, I think that we're going to get, you know, we're going to get the same old, same old. It depends on which show he's going to, right? Because I feel like if Paul Heyman gets his hands on him in the character, he has a higher ceiling to succeed. You know, I mean, lofty goals to compare the guy to The Undertaker, but... You know, hopefully they are able to, you know, Paul Heyman would be able to salvage him. If he just ends up going to the generic creative team over at SmackDown, I don't know if he necessarily hits that ceiling.
So here's my issue with the whole thing about, like, The Undertaker, right? Because I understand, like, there's lots of things that go into this, right? The Undertaker is an all-time guy, and I'm talking, like, top three. A lot of people's number one, right? A lot of people that know what they're talking about is number one. You know what I mean? But I think we can all agree he's in the rarest of air.
Yeah.
And so I know their trepidation because if we start actually doing Undertaker-level pushes in the ring, developmentally, whatever, whatever, with this guy,
right.
I think, and I mean this, this might sound silly, but I'm serious. I still think, 12 years later, I think they're Chris Benoit gun-shy. I don't think that they think that Bray Wyatt is going to murder his wife and children. But what I do believe is they're afraid, and maybe Benoit's a little extreme, and maybe I can compare it more to, like, Enzo. They really wanted to do stuff with Enzo Amore, and that little moron blew it out the door. And so what I'm telling you is I don't think that they maybe not trust Bray Wyatt the person. This is more conceptual, that they're afraid to go kind of all in on these character guys, guys in general, because in recent history with social media and stuff, they've got burned by some of their bigger players. And maybe they're afraid of putting a bunch of chips in and having a guy screw them over. I'm not telling you Bray Wyatt specifically. I'm telling you broad topic. Because now it feels like they're not afraid of that. Again, I've been fooled before.
Right.
But my big point here is I believe that Bray Wyatt is as capable of playing a memorable, game-changing, otherworldly character on the show as The Undertaker was in his era. This is one of those times when people can't admit that Ken Griffey Jr. was a better player than Babe Ruth just because Babe Ruth was first. And so if Bray Wyatt had walked in the door in 1990 and I think could have played Bray Wyatt that well at a time when that would have sufficed.
Yeah, okay.
And now, because he's not 7 feet tall.
Yeah, right.
And so I'm not telling you he could have played The Undertaker.
No.
I'm telling you that if the character Bray Wyatt in lieu of The Undertaker, and now this 7 foot tall guy shows up and goes, he could be the next Bray Wyatt, and everybody will go, oh, I don't know about that. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's the same thing. So what I need WWE is to go, the fans are playing along. They don't think it's silly and stupid. This guy is so into it that I think he's maybe actually losing his mind like Heath Ledger. We got to do something with it.
Right.
And I'm hoping to not be fooled again because I think they actually might. Am I wrong to believe that?
No, I think that they might. It feels like they've hit a creative wall, right? I think the fans are vehemently rejecting everything that they're throwing against the wall, myself included. And so, yeah, you got to change things around. You got to make things different. People have liked the Firefly Funhouse. Yeah. They've really liked it. So, you know, yeah, do something with it. I mean, look at what happened with the Kofi stuff. People like Kofi. People are far more invested in Kofi's title reign than they were in Seth Rollins. And, you know, yeah, maybe he got the bigger win tonight. But I think that if you gave Kofi a satisfying victory at the end of that, they would have been just as into it.
Okay. Who do we got? We're going to talk to as many people as we can.
We got Pat in Massachusetts wants to discuss how Roman Reigns was not on the show. Go ahead, Pat.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you, man? What'd you think about Roman Reigns' absence?
I was a little baffled by it. I understand that, like, you know, I think Roman's their second biggest draw besides Brock Lesnar. I know he's in that murder angle and everything, and that's probably the hottest long-term story that they're working on as far as creative is concerned. But I was wondering what you thought about the decision to not have him on the card at all.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Pat. We really appreciate it, man. So let's talk about let's talk about two things. To answer Pat's question first, what do you think about him not being on the show? And second, what do you think about the fact that they really didn't kind of extend or add to this, like, who's trying to kill Roman Reigns thing?
So they did and they didn't. I mean, it's really unfortunate because you had to watch the pre-show for that to actually happen.
But didn't they just sort of catch you up?
No, because basically Buddy Murphy got attacked by Rowan because he said that it was him. Right?
Okay.
So now, and then, like, they cut to Daniel Bryan looking at a TV, and so it's just like, are they?
Yeah,
and
right.
So it's like, yeah, okay, we pushed the story along, like, minutely. But, yeah, this show needed to end with something, right? I remember the pay-per-view ending with Austin getting run over by the car.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I was expecting in this,
like,
was...
like a climax thing.
Like a like basically, you look at this like a mid-season finale, right? So you hit him with a big cliffhanger at the end. Well, you know, yeah, cool. Seth Rollins beat Brock Lesnar, and hooray, we did it, and we slayed the beast, and yay, my spleen is not ruptured anymore, and neither are my ribs, but...
yeah. I taped up those ribs that are around my belly button.
Yeah, you know, near my my stomach. But it would have been great if it's just like, you know, hey, what's going on? And then all of a sudden, Roman Reigns gets hit by a car or shot or something. You know what I mean? Like
whatever's next for him.
Whatever's next for him. Because, yeah, now on Monday, I have something that I'm looking to tune into.
Right.
Right?
You just have to be a big Seth Rollins fan, in theory, to want to watch tomorrow night.
There was no call to action for me to go to Monday. Like, yeah, cool, Seth Rollins is the champion, but, you know, Roman Reigns didn't come and stare him down, or, you know, somebody didn't manifest themselves as that next opponent or looming opponent. So what do? You should have had Roman Reigns have something happen to him.
I agree with you because, like, as Pat said, and he's right, Roman is the biggest, you know, second biggest quote-unquote draw other than Brock, and he's, you know, the plan. He doesn't feel like he's had a Roman Reigns-esque 2019. Health concerns have certainly been part of it. You got to keep in mind he has gone through a lot in the last calendar year. But you got to keep in mind, this guy is still the dude. He's still the plan. He still is the odds-on favorite to main event WrestleMania, even though he wasn't even on SummerSlam. So you're right that it almost felt like with, okay, it's awesome that Seth Rollins won. It's awesome. But is it like a close the show, gotta see it Monday, like you said?
Yeah.
Whereas if, you know, Roman Reigns is under a pile of bricks or something, you know what I mean? It's like, well, what the hell happened there? You know what I mean? That's all it has to be, is they just find him.
Yeah, right.
And because then I have all my questions that hopefully are answered tomorrow while I watch your show. And that's just television. And you're right. That's a very that's a very good point.
Yeah, you know, but the other part of that question was, I'm glad that he wasn't forced onto this show.
He just didn't fight Buddy Murphy for no
reason. Yeah, like, we didn't have him fight Drew McIntyre for the millionth time.
Or just beat Buddy Murphy.
Or just beat Buddy Murphy, yeah.
Which is still probably coming down the mountain, but at least it didn't happen tonight when it's like, okay, that didn't really accomplish much.
Right.
Because, of course, you beat Buddy Murphy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so, here's the thing. But we got to, like, as a fan base, kind of sit back and go, like, okay, man. Remember when the only thing you wanted for Christmas and your birthday was Roman Reigns to go away? Well, he's not a big part of this show right now.
Yeah.
And so I hope that you're watching every Monday and buying more t-shirts than ever. And this is, I hope you're going online and tweeting about how amazing WWE is now, because you said for a long time
that this was the reason.
This is the only, this is this guy's, the clog in the toilet. You know what I mean? And well, I don't know, man. Maybe. You know, it was a great SummerSlam, but was it a great SummerSlam because Roman Reigns wasn't on it? It might have been a great SummerSlam because Roman Reigns wasn't in the main event. Maybe for some people. But all I'm saying is, like, I don't know. I thought he was I just hope you're loving the show now. Who we got?
Anthony in California wants to talk about Brock Lesnar losing clean. Go ahead, Anthony.
So, hey, guys, how you guys doing?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for calling.
So, I was wondering, like, what do y'all think, since we had Brock Lesnar cash in last month and then he lost it clean and pretty quick, like within less than a month. So where do you think that he goes on next? Do you think he's going to carry on a rivalry with somebody else, or is he going to continue to go after Rollins and then eventually win back the Universal title?
This was definitely the end to the story, because the WrestleMania match between these two was not the climactic clash that this was, right?
Well, this is also the first time that there's no ifs, there's no yeah buts.
Right, and well, that's the problem, because you had Brock Lesnar being the champion and Seth Rollins winning the Royal Rumble to get the honor of challenging Brock, and it's like, okay, that should have been climactic clash enough, but then we decided to go with the easy out of, like, he's going to boot him in the balls a bunch of times, and it's going to be a bunch of, you know, hocus pokery, you know, in order for him to win this title. So yeah, I think that Brock coming in, winning that title, or winning the Money in the Bank to get the title real quick, helped. It helped so much, because that led us to have the, you know, epic clash of SummerSlam. Now, the other thing I would say is that Brock is Mr. SummerSlam. this event is synonymous with Brock Lesnar moments. And yeah, I think that, you know, this was ultimately a big clash for that guy.
Awesome. So you mentioned closure, and I couldn't agree more that no matter what he does next to answer Anthony's question, whatever he does next, I don't think it's going to be Seth Rollins, and it shouldn't be Seth Rollins. Because here's the thing. In every one of their encounters that I can think of, there's some sort of an asterisk, right? So Seth Rollins wins the WWE Championship at WrestleMania 31, but Brock wasn't involved in the decision, right? So that kind of has their encounter as a cloud. And then they had a triple threat match with John Cena in it, and I do believe that Brock Lesnar pinned Rollins for the decision, but there was a third guy involved, and there was like a big, huge table spot. And if you remember, Brock just sort of like crawled in and got, you know, stole the victory.
Right.
And then there was the WrestleMania match, but Seth Rollins kicked him in the balls a bunch of times. But then they had their Money in the Bank match, but that comes with a stipulation that it was after Seth Rollins had already wrestled.
Right.
Tonight, they just fought. They fought hard. They fought, and there's no asterisks.
Yeah.
Becky Lynch didn't help. There's nothing about...
And Seth Rollins even overcame the rib spleens.
Exactly. And Seth Rollins just beating Brock again, which is what would happen, doesn't accomplish anything more than what happened tonight.
Right.
If anything, it just shows that maybe the story is supposed to be as Brock losing a step, which is not what WWE is trying to tell you.
Oh, that's definitely not what happened.
No, what I'm saying, if he were to lose twice in a row.
Oh.
If Seth Rollins would have just beat Brock twice, then if anything, Brock's just like, oh, is Brock on a losing streak now? None of that. We're not doing that. Brock hasn't lost two matches in a row, I don't think, in his return.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, but you're right. It's closure. They had a great match where nobody has any doubts.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins is finally the actual use of the term. Seth Rollins is the undisputed universal champion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And so what's Brock Lesnar going to do next? Something at the Royal Rumble and or WrestleMania. And it won't be anything of value. It'll be a fun program, and that's all Brock. Yeah. Brock Lesnar's won his last championship in this company. Yay or nay?
I think so. Just because this was, I think, a make good for WrestleMania. I don't think that match was well constructed at all. It wasn't rewarding, and it wasn't fun, you know, just having Seth Rollins come in there and just, you know, again, hit him in the balls a bunch of times. Like, wasn't fun. This was a lot more fun. This was a fun match. Brock Lesnar got all the Brock Lesnar stuff. Again, I think having Brock Lesnar wrap his arms around you from behind and scream, "It's punishment time, bitch," is the scariest thing in the world.
It's a waking nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a waking, worst case scenario. Really quick, because I do want to give this a shout out. I think, and I mean this, I think Trish Stratus had her best match tonight. Do you agree with that?
Sure. I
think she did. I really do.
At worst, it was her second best match.
Which was that main event with Lita, where she almost killed herself?
Correct.
I think
it was her best one.
I think that match was very good, but was much more about what they accomplished than what the match was.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think we got it's just weird. I think
that was great.
No, they were great. It was fine. The women, Charlotte, it proved that she is the most dominant female wrestler, so we accomplished that.
Yep.
You know,
she'll be known as the greatest female wrestler of all time.
When it's over. And so I think that was fine. I thought Trish did a great job. She definitely lived up to her half of the billing. She needed to definitely step in there to prove that it's like, yeah, we were actually good. And they were, and she was, and she did a great job. You know, but at the end of the day, I don't know what we do now with Charlotte Flair, because
she has to go after a championship.
Yeah.
She just beat an icon. She just beat. They're telling you, and I were talking about this off the air. They're telling you that Trish Stratus is the greatest women's wrestler of all time.
Right.
We do not talk about the Fabulous Moolah.
Mae Young.
Mae Young wasn't. They didn't bill up Mae Young as an all. I mean, they've billed up Mae Young as one of the all time greats, but not the way Moolah was this like 27 year champion ridiculousness, right? And so we don't talk about Moolah. That's not how we sell you Mae Young.
We don't care about Alundra Blaze.
Right. And so what they're doing is they're telling you that Trish Stratus is the greatest women's wrestler of all time. And tonight what they did was they're telling you that we are on the track to have that be Charlotte Flair. What we do with Charlotte, she's got to win a championship.
Right.
She should just beat Bayley. Is she on that show? She's on SmackDown, right?
Yeah.
She should beat Bayley Tuesday. sure. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because Bayley, that's cooked.
Yeah. So Ember Moon should have won tonight.
Yeah.
Honestly, Ember Moon should have won tonight. The only thing that would justify her not winning tonight was if Charlotte's going to be the champion and soon.
Yeah,
I love Bayley.
That Clash of Champions.
I love Bayley, but they're not doing anything, man.
No.
She's not doing anything, man. And now moving on really quick, before if we'll take a call. If we got one, 508-202-1624. But I want to, speaking of legends, what did you think of the 15 minutes of Goldberg?
You know, it was exactly what we thought it was.
It was going to be better. I loved the curtain calls. I loved Dolph Ziggler being like, screw you, man. And then Goldberg being like, oh, I have to just kill you. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm also a fan of the guy.
It was exactly what I wanted it to be. You know what I mean? Like, this the placement of this match was exactly where it needed to be.
I thought it was going to go right in the middle.
Oh, see, I thought it was going to be, you know, I was a little shocked that Becky and Natalya went first.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be the U.S. title.
I thought it was going to be the U.S. title as well, but I thought that it was great to just kind of stick it in there right at the top, you know, just kind of get this crowd up and rowdy and riling, you know what I mean? And it was fun. I thought it was really fun. It's, you know, it's not hard to do the Goldberg stuff when you only are asked to do the Goldberg stuff, you know? We knew what we signed up for. I was like, this is exactly what I wanted. And yeah, I thought the curtain calls were a little much, you know, where it's just like, I just wanted the one and then leave. Maybe the second
third
one.
Spear was the best spear.
Yeah.
He
sold it like Rock taking the stunner.
Last spear was the best spear.
Yeah.
And that might be the last spear.
Sure.
So that's a good one.
Should be.
So that's a good one. Oh, you're right. Oh, you're right, man.
But let's not try to mess this up again.
No, the last spear should have been in Orlando, Florida.
Well, yes.
You know what I mean? But now that's the last one.
Yeah, and so it was fun. It was fine.
I loved it. I don't know. This is one of those things where people on the internet were like, can I just, I'm just going to say one thing about this, okay? Dolph Ziggler in 2019 wasn't doing anything and has no at his he
well
is
he was going to get his head kicked off by Shawn Michaels if Shawn Michaels wanted to come back,
right? At best case scenario, or does not have a match, right? So Dolph Ziggler, if you think that Goldberg buried Dolph Ziggler in 2019, you got to be kidding me, guys. I want to work with you here, I swear to God. But if you're going to tell me that Dolph Ziggler was finally on his way to the top and then Goldberg messed it all up, You're crazy.
Dolph Ziggler losing the loser match at 2016 SummerSlam was the burial.
Dean Ambrose destroyed any hope that guy should have ever had forever.
Yeah. Well, and again, it's Dolph Ziggler's Teflon at this point, right? Because Dolph Ziggler is who Dolph Ziggler is. You know what I mean? Like, if you're holding out hope that he's going to be the face of the company.
Yeah, come on.
You know, like, that's not going to happen. This is who Dolph Ziggler is. Right, Dolph Ziggler is going to be fun, entertaining. You're going to enjoy whatever he's doing.
And lose a lot.
But yeah, look, I mean, Dolph Ziggler's lot in this SummerSlam was he was going to lose to Shawn Michaels, he was going to lose to The Miz, or he was going to lose to Goldberg. That was the three options. Because there's no way you talk that much crap about legends and making fun of Shawn Michaels and, you know what I mean? Like, the only reason The Miz got involved was because Michael said no, and they hadn't gotten Goldberg yet.
Yep.
That's.
I don't know. I just thought it was harmless and fun, and I just don't know why some people would have a problem with that. It's like, you know.
Well, the fan base takes this too seriously.
Yeah, they do. And no harm was done tonight. We got a call on the line, 508-202-1624.
Shannon in South Carolina gave us a call. Go ahead, Shannon.
Hey, I just wanted to say that it's time to move on from Goldberg. He is just the worst ever.
Uh-oh.
And so overrated. It is unbelievable.
Okay. Well, I guess when you say move.
And by the way, what did you do to that poor Kermit?
He's in the back there.
First of all, that's.
We didn't do anything.
First of all, that's Frog Balor. Okay. So I have some respect for Frog Balor.
Goldberg is just.
So
awful.
No. So, first of all, Goldberg is exactly what Goldberg is. And that match drew people to the show. I promise you that there are some people that watched SummerSlam because he was there. And here's the biggest thing. Like I said, that was 15 minutes, and the only person, and here's the thing that you got to understand too. Remember when we talked about WrestleMania 34, right?
Sure.
And how John Cena was probably smiling the entire time he was in that tombstone, you know what I mean? Under the Undertaker's dick, about to get tombstoned, you know what I mean? He was probably smiling brighter than anybody because he was working the Undertaker at WrestleMania. Here's a little inside piece of information for everybody. Dolph Ziggler's an enormous Goldberg fan. I bet you that nobody had more fun.
Are you like getting worked up over this? Is your blood pressure rising?
I don't, nobody had, yes, nobody
but
had,
that's beside the point.
Nobody had more fun.
Yeah.
Tonight, working Goldberg like that, than Dolph Ziggler.
Sure.
And no harm was done. Harm was done.
Sure, but at the same time, she is right in the aspect of like, okay, Goldberg, you got to go away. All the legends, you got to go away.
Duh.
You know, and so.
I don't think this was, I wouldn't have voted for this, but now that it happened, no harm was done. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, I just don't. If you're sitting here being like, hey, I would have rather this not happen. Because, yeah, the flip side to this is that Goldberg was on this show and Roman Reigns wasn't. Goldberg was on this show and Bobby Lashley wasn't. Braun Strowman wasn't. Drew McIntyre wasn't, right? And so I can see...
Yeah, but they're not as big as stars as he is other than Roman Reigns.
But again, you know, if we just omit them for Goldberg to being one-off, then we didn't accomplish anything. Because the real thing that people talk about and the only credence that I have from, like, the general fan, like, complaint is that it's we have to stop caring about the stars of yesteryear because we don't have any now. And so, yeah, if you told me that I press a button and Goldberg's not here and we don't have, because it was fun, admittedly it was fun, but yeah, if Goldberg's not here and any one of the people that I had mentioned was here, yeah, I would have pushed that button because it's more important to build for the future right now.
I completely agree with you. I'm just saying that Bobby Lashley versus Shinsuke Nakamura in a match that's ultimately not going to mean anything for anything for anything, I don't, that, you're right. One of those guys should have been on this card. I just think, like I said, I wouldn't have put this on here either. I love Goldberg, but this is crazy that we're still using him in 2019.
Yeah.
Of course I acknowledge that. It's crazy. But again, now that it happened, I just don't understand why it can't be just like, yeah, it was fun. And you know what I mean? Like, who cares? Because the other thing too is, guys, it's just like, Goldberg isn't the reason that Drew McIntyre's doing nothing. Goldberg's not the reason Bobby Lashley's doing nothing. What was the match that was off this card that was glaring at you? Nothing.
The one that was glaring that wasn't on this was Aleister Black versus Sami Zayn. That was originally going to be on here, and it wasn't because of this match.
Why is it because of this match?
I'm assuming it's time constraints.
I think they ended relatively early. They ended before 11.
Yeah.
And they don't care. I don't know. I just, I have a tough time.
But that's your answer. That's your answer. Your answer was that match wasn't on here because of that. The Women's Tag Team Championship match wasn't on here because of that. So there are matches that, you know, if we're trying to care about the present, we're not on here.
I guess my complaint would be, I suppose, more so that, like, I don't know, on the pre-show, do you really care about the Cruiserweight Championship match if Aleister Black and Sami Zayn are doing something relevant on the main roster? I don't know. Maybe Goldberg was the reason that that match wasn't on here. I tend not to believe that, because if that was the case, then we wouldn't have done the curtain calls, and it would have been a classic Goldberg in and out in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's a 5-minute addition to the show.
Well, I'm just saying that telling people that they're crazy because, you know, that's a legitimate complaint. That's a legitimate...
I suppose. I just don't think that WWE was like, okay, we had this thing cooking that we care about and we're working on right now, and it got omitted for Goldberg to spear Dolph Ziggler 3 times. Well, I just have a tough time believing that.
Well, Goldberg was on this card for the same reason that Trish Stratus was.
Yeah.
Star power for the second biggest show of the year.
Right. Get people to actually watch it.
Yeah.
Get people to actually watch the show. Because guess the other thing people do have to realize is that Goldberg got infinitely more people than Sami Zayn or Aleister Black. Maybe Goldberg got 5 people. That's 5 more people than Sami Zayn and Aleister Black. That's real.
Right, but that's also talking about, you know, like, you got to fix the problem.
I agree with that.
That's the that's the thing. And for people to say that it's a problem, you know, is accurate.
I understand. 508-202-1624.
All right, so Jordan is on the line, wants to talk about Bray Wyatt. Go ahead, Jordan.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? How we doing? Happy SummerSlam Day.
How are you, pal? What'd you think of the show?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really fun. All the typical complaints that everything is going crazy about, you know, Goldberg, as you guys were just talking about, I thought was really fun. I thought all the title matches were really good, and the ending was fun, and yeah, it was a really solid SummerSlam. You know, just as good a pay-per-view as we've had in a very long time. But man, that Bray Wyatt was fucking awesome, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. See, I was super, as obvious as this might sound, I'm super duper glad he wrestled in the mask. I was really afraid he was going to take it off and it was going to feel much more like a, you know, like a temporary thing, or like something that was like an actual character shift.
Right. Well, it's like,
let this guy
make his movie, right? He clearly has a plan, because, yeah, whatever the Fiend mask is clearly another face, because that lantern that he was carrying out was Bray Wyatt's head. It was Bray Wyatt's head with the dreadlocks and everything. So whatever movie this guy is making in his head, just run with it and let's see what happens.
Okay, because I couldn't agree with you more. Like, I tweeted this out, and people seem to agree. WWE needs to believe in Bray Wyatt as much as Bray Wyatt does. Because, like you said, he's got this whole thing figured out, man. I don't need your help. I need you to record me. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's really what he's doing right now. And I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it 1,001. I just hope this actually leads to something, because he has had one WWE title reign that I bet you half the audience forgot about until I just said it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And that's the truth. And so I'm just ready for this to take the next step. And I hope it does, because he looked awesome. Jordan, what are you looking for out of Bray Wyatt moving forward?
Well, I was actually going to ask this. It's funny Liam brings it out about how, like, he's making his own movie and they need to just let him do that. Because you can really see that with this act more than anyone in recent memory, that this is so him, and you can tell that, like, this is his brainchild. And I mean, God knows it has to be, because it has more character development and storytelling than anything in the WWE in the past 5 years, it feels like. But it's interesting to me as to why they're letting him have this much control, because it's great and I'm loving it, but I'm curious as to why you guys think they're sort of letting him run with it. It's not like this is Cena or Undertaker or one of their main event A-plus players, so I just think it's really cool, but admittedly strange that they're letting him have all this creative freedom. So I'm just wondering what you guys think about that.
It feels like WWE has this weird, like, hierarchy military time-in system where it's like, yeah, we don't care if you're a hotshot guy from the indies that everybody loves. You're new here, so you have to do your time. And it kind of feels like that's what ended up happening with Bray Wyatt, where it's like, yeah, like, we're going to give you this character, but you got to do your time. And now I guess time is up.
Do you kind of think it's maybe sort of an extension or at least synonymous with what I was talking about earlier, where it's like, okay, when you're 28 and haven't been here for a while and we don't know if you're going to go out
right.
and drunk drive or do this or screw up or quit or throw a tantrum. And so we're not all in, like, beat the Undertaker right. at WrestleMania in, but now we've gotten to know you. You're a company guy. You show up, you do the work, you don't goof off, you don't screw up. You know what I mean?
Like, everything you do gets a good response.
Right. You're actually starting a little WWE family now with JoJo, and you're all in the, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
So it's like, you're right. I think it's like, you're right. We trust you now.
Yeah.
And so, like, look, if the audience is receptive to this and we know that you're in it for the, you know, you're in it for all the right reasons, then I think that maybe we can actually see them let him off the leash. Because your point is so true. Just let him do this. He knows what he wants to do, and everything he's doing is captivating.
Right.
So, I mean, just don't, like, how many times, get out of the way.
Yeah, just get out of the way.
Get out of the way. Jordan, thank you so much, buddy. We're going to take as many calls as we can, and he's already gone, so we can't thank him, but we do on the air. We'll take one more call or two. We'll wrap this up, and then anything that we didn't get to tonight, we're going to talk about Wednesday at 8, 508-202-1624, 508-202-1-NAI. If you would like to get the last call in, you can. The main event, so Seth Rollins is... So let's really quick, because I don't want to just omit these. What did you think about Bayley versus Ember Moon? I really think Ember Moon should have either won, or I hope Charlotte does. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah, Ember Moon to me is the exact same thing we just talked about with Bray Wyatt. Whatever the character she's playing, I want to watch that.
Everything's great through the entrance, and her matches are great, but there's nothing to her character.
Well, because
and she's dressed like somebody I'm interested in.
Right. She looks from entrance to match to finish. I care about what this character's doing, but every promo and all this other stuff, she's like in jeans.
And scripted and garbage and terrible.
Like,
and yeah. Because she's great, but she's reading a bad script.
Yeah.
But I love her. I love her moveset. I like her look. Like you said, she's dressed like somebody I want to see what happens with, and then nothing happens.
Yeah.
Which is not her fault.
I'm glad that AJ Styles retained.
Awesome. And I'm really glad that the OC looks like they're about to, you know, top
off the world.
And they did have a moment with Finn Balor.
They did? I did not see that.
Yeah, Finn Balor, they went up to Finn Balor and said, if you need help tonight, just say when.
Oh, okay, yeah, and then he did do right before the match, like right at the beginning of his entrance, he threw up the two sweets.
Yeah.
So hopefully,
and if he's taking time away, this would be a great way to come back.
Yes,
you know what I mean. It was to join them and then just
help out.
Let's do this.
Well, especially after a big loss, which he needed.
Yep, I agree. I don't want this to come and go because I think that Becky Lynch and Natalya did an outstanding job, and it's worth talking about. Great opener, great pace setter, like great tone setter for the pay-per-view. A great, like, you know, we talk to wrestlers all the time on this show that say there is absolutely that thing, like great pitching staffs, right? They're starting rotation. You know that they're great when, you know, guy A went out and he threw seven, you know, innings, two, you know, runs. And so guy B goes, I'm going to beat that. That was always what you're supposed to do, is beat the guy in front of you. And that is a great tone setter for Becky Lynch and Natalya to go out there and be like, okay, so in theory, because we're match one, we're the match of the night. Take it away from us. You know what I mean? And I think it was hard to. And I'm not sure they were the match of the night, but they were a great standard to set. I think Natalya's a great wrestler. She's dry as toast, but she's a great wrestler.
Yeah.
But I do think they did a really good job. They told a good story, and I think they did a good job making Becky Lynch look very, very credible against a very good opponent.
It also just helps to know that Becky Lynch is still very popular, that people actually are still invested in what she's doing.
I agree with that as well.
Which is great.
I do. I agree with that as well. There were no tag championships on the line tonight other than the women. The women and then
Well, Jimmy and Jay couldn't get into the country.
Right. Oh, dear.
Because for some odd reason, DUIs get you omitted from Canada.
Do you like the tag team of Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross?
I think it's fun. I think it's a fun pairing. You know, here's the thing. The Iconics didn't do anything since winning those belts. Yeah. So
they were just funny, and they could be funny without them.
Yeah, you can be funny without them. I don't need you to be tag team champions to go out there and be nonsensical Australians.
And if we didn't do it, we could still book Sasha Banks.
And I do see here, looking at the card, it says that the winners were scheduled to face the Kabuki Warriors tomorrow night on Raw.
It
sounds terrible.
Like, do you ever watch 30 Rock?
Yeah.
So there's a scene where Alec Baldwin, because Alec Baldwin's character is dating Selma Hayek's character, right?
Right.
And he goes, "What do I call you?" She goes, "Puerto Rican." He goes, no, what do I get to call you? She goes, "Puerto Rican." He goes, "I don't know, it just doesn't sound right."
Right.
You know what I mean? And so that's what it sounds like. It's like they're taking on the Kabuki Warriors. It just sounds like that can't be their name, and I'm being ignorant.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it can't possibly be their name, and I'm being a jerk, but that is. That's their name.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, all right, before we wrap up and head over to Wednesday night, we do have a call, and we're going to take it. So who's on the line? The last call of the night.
Last call is Colin in Kansas wants to talk about Seth Rollins real quick. Go ahead, Colin. Yeah,
bet he does.
His take's probably terrible.
What's up, guys? Hey, Jason, am I going to get my congratulations?
I am happy for people that think Seth Rollins is the solution. I disagree, but hey, I completely understand why Brock Lesnar shouldn't be the champion of the show. So I'm happy for you, and Seth Rollins is a hell of a talent. I think he moves the needle zero. But I also think that's true for about 90% of this roster, if I'm being honest with you. So, good for you, buddy. I love you. How about that? And the Royals blow.
Thank you. And I will say, I do agree with what you like. His title reign, especially after the AJ Styles match at Money in the Bank, definitely fell flat. I think it also has to. I mean, he also worked with Baron, which I don't. I mean. It takes two guys to tango, you know, in a wrestling ring. And, you know, so maybe hopefully now he can move on to someone like Drew McIntyre, who I think can help elevate Seth and, you know, make him feel more like a great champion. So that's all I'm looking for. I think move away from Baron Corbin, go on to someone new, and I think you will see a better title reign. Because, I mean, look what they're doing with Kofi. He's facing top shelf guys each time. So I think now you need to do that with Seth, elevate the Universal title, and I think people will be happy again.
Colin, awesome call. And we do love you, buddy, and congratulations. I do hope you enjoyed the show. It was a good summer.
See you guys.
Well, that's a cop out. The opponent thing is a cop out.
No, I don't think that that's unfair because unfortunately, with human nature, is people like, how am I supposed to get up for a Baron Corbin match? But if Seth Rollins was a big enough star, maybe they would. I understand what you're saying.
But how's the, like, it didn't matter what Stone Cold Steve Austin was doing.
What I would tell you, though, is that he didn't fight Val Venus. He fought The Rock and Undertaker and Mick Foley and Triple H. He consistently fought big, you know, the Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. He was always, when it was 316 era, he always had.
At one point, John Cena fought Edge, and that, you know what I mean? And that was the same thing as a Baron Corbin at that point, where, like, in terms of, like, placement on the card.
Yeah,
and,
no, but Edge was already a bona fide megastar by the time they got together.
So, I don't know. It's just, that's a cop-out to me, because Kofi Kingston's fighting with everybody, and Kofi Kingston is entertaining because his character is entertaining. Seth Rollins, his character needs a radical shift.
Well, what is it? What is his character?
Right.
Sometimes I beat big opponents, and sometimes they don't give me one.
I am the Mega Man of WWE, where I beat the guy and I assume his nickname.
Yeah, you were right. That's totally right.
That is all he does.
You're totally right.
He was far more interesting as the architect and the like the bad weaselly guy.
I was gonna say, as simple and, you know, blah, as it sounds, it would he be a better bad guy?
He would be a better bad guy because Kofi Kingston is a great good guy. I love Kofi Kingston. Everything he's doing. I'm like, you look fun. I want to hang out with you. Your matches are high-flying and entertaining, so I'm constantly going, ooh, whenever you're wrestling. And, like, Seth Rollins wrestles a very similar style to Kofi Kingston. And, yeah, man, I just can't get involved. I can't get into it. So it's like, yeah, you're wrestling Baron Corbin, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, Randy Orton in 2019 isn't the, like, world breaker you think it is.
I understand.
And that match was way better than any of the other things that Seth Rollins has done that wasn't with Brock Lesnar.
And I don't know the specific answer to this, but what I do know is that I couldn't disagree with Colin Moore that the next guy should be Drew McIntyre. How does that help? Drew McIntyre's never won diddly shit. Drew McIntyre's not a guy. But even though I think as a fan base we all agree he should be, the harsh reality is Drew McIntyre's not a guy. He sometimes hangs out with Vince McMahon and is a smartass backstage.
Right.
He hasn't won anything. He hasn't come close to winning anything. And the reality is I'm not sure he will because for some reason they just can't get it right with Drew McIntyre.
Right.
So I don't think that that guy does anything. Oh, what does that prove to me? That Seth Rollins can keep beating, you know, giant people? I know he can't. You know, Brock is the biggest giant person. So that's not a thing to me. What he needs to do, where I'll flip it to where I do agree with Colin, is I don't even know who they are, but he's going to start fighting guys that matter.
Oh, you know what would be interesting? Seth Rollins, the guy that's trying to kill Roman Reigns.
How fun would that be? Because he just keeps, at the end of the day, he's just keeps, this is who he is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's the scorpion and the frog.
Right.
Where the frog's trying to get, the scorpion talks the frog into taking him across the river, and the frog's like, no, you're going to sting me. And the scorpion's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And so he's like, all right, let's do it. And they go across, and the scorpion stings him, and he goes, you stung me. Now we're both going to die. And the guy's like, I'm a scorpion. What did you expect?
Right, exactly. And so that would be it. And it's also, there's actual, if you want there to be, imagine this, a story in there where he's like, I needed you to go because I needed this to be my show.
Right.
And I needed to make sure of that.
Right. That is exactly what Triple H did when he had Rikishi
hit
Stone Cold Steve Austin for The Rock.
I knew you were a matter of time and you were going to take it all away from me and I had to eliminate you.
I had to eliminate you before I eliminated Brock.
And it will wind up being R-Truth trying to escape with the 24/7 title and doing all this by accident.
Yes.
That's what it'll actually be. Are you, just before we go, we'll go Wednesday night. 8 o'clock, twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. What is your grade for this show? And then I do want to know who you would pair Seth Rollins up with next.
So I'd say it's somewhere around a B+. I mean, I enjoyed the show. The only blemish really on this show was the double countout for the WWE Championship. Really, right now, I don't care what Seth Rollins is doing, if I'm being honest. You know, I think that Bobby Lashley would be a good opponent for him, you know, just as like a placeholder, because while Raw has the bigger names, none of them have personalities.
Yeah.
And so it doesn't, you know, whether it is Drew McIntyre or Elias or whatever, you know, it doesn't really matter. The thing that I'm concerned about is, okay, so Kevin Owens beat Shane McMahon. And there was a, like, if I lost, I'd have to quit stipulation. Okay, so what? Where are we going now?
Now, what happens when you won?
What happens when you won? Well, you know, Shane McMahon was like, I'm not going to put my career on the line, so.
What's next?
What's next? That's probably the most interesting thing then, coming out of this show.
And maybe Roman Reigns will get shot.
And, you know, I was hoping.
In real life. I'm not rooting for that in real life, but just something interesting to happen on TV.
And we wouldn't do that in today's 2019 climate, but, like, yeah, he's under a pile of road cases.
Right, exactly.
Bleeding.
Right. When I say get shot, I'm talking about that is in movies, the biggest climax you can get. You pull out the gun. You know what I mean? Whatever this is going, whatever the final, like, okay,
right,
I'm going to find out who this is, or so, whatever the gotta give moment is, Austin's hit by the car and breaks his neck, we just got to get it. We got to do it. We got to do it. I don't know what we're building to, but we got to get to it.
Right.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. We will catch you live right back here, twitch.tv/NewAgeInsidersTV. If you like what you heard and you want to hear even more, patreon.com/NewAgeInsiders. You can subscribe if you already have Amazon Prime. You have Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free right now. Costs you nothing. And we appreciate it greatly. Is there anything you guys would like to get on there before we head over to Wednesday?
No, that's it.
I think we're good. My name is Jason Malta.
I'm Liam Stryker.
And I'm Bill Nunn.
We are the New Age Insiders. You can find us right back here and on all platforms at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville NAI. The website is newageinsiders.com. You can download us on iTunes, Podomatic, Lork, Norble, and Stitcher. And we thank you so much for making us the premier place for fans of all kinds to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
We out.